So we're entering Thanksgiving week. Can you believe it's already here? It seems surreal, doesn't it? Someone told me, you don't have to talk about gratitude. Yes, I do. Thanksgiving. Besides, I like gratitude. I have called gratitude the Swiss Army knife of spiritual tools. It didn't catch on in Unity the way I thought it might, but I still think it's good. Because gratitude is good for anything. You can use it in any situation. It instantly elevates consciousness. It is a mood-altering practice. You don't have to think about it. You don't have to have words for it. You don't have to be grateful to anyone or for anything. It's an attitude and a mindset. Gratitude is like forgiveness. It's something we do for ourselves. Now, it's only appropriate that Americans invented this national holiday to stop and give thanks for our bounty, because we are the most bountiful nation on earth, and the least we can do is remember to be grateful. Why is gratitude hard to remember? Sometimes it's even hard to feel grateful, even though we know we have so much to be grateful for. I think it's especially hard for Westerners because we are achievement-oriented. We keep thinking there's a finish line out there and we'll cross it and then we'll be grateful. So you know how a single idea will come at you from every direction when you're supposed to get it. One for me lately has been stop and celebrate. Take stock of what's already been done and achieved. Write it down, lifetime achievements. And you can take stock daily as well. Any little success, any improvement, it doesn't have to be that I made $1 million and wrote a novel and cured cancer today. You know, maybe someone didn't snap at their child. Maybe they didn't eat dessert. Maybe they stayed calm when they stubbed their toe. Any little thing. We say all the time, expect the good and know that whatever shows up is your highest good. We say less often, stop and celebrate along the way. A good book or a movie, a visit with friends or family, the power of our bodies to heal, the grace of time to mend our broken hearts. And it's exactly what Thanksgiving is about. Stop and celebrate. Life is a process. It's like a river. What if the river were just hell-bent on getting to the ocean? Gotta get to the ocean. What are these rocks? Get out of my way. These twists and turns. Can't I just go straight and get to the ocean? It's exhausting. And what happens at the ocean? Well, death for the river. It's absorbed back into the sea. And wouldn't it be a shame if all rivers were just straight lines with no water bubbling over rocks or twisting around obstacles or falling over cliffs? Wouldn't it be a shame if the river missed the beauty of the landscape it was passing through? So you all know April Whitten, who is sitting on the back row back there. You know what she does? She does wagon trains. Literal, physical, covered wagons. In 1999, she joined a wagon train from Nebraska to California. 4 months, nearly 2,200 miles. She walked most of it. She was telling about this in prosperity class last week, and she said I could tell you too. She deliberately did not read the published journals of the original pioneers because she wanted to have her own experience, and she kept her own journals. And she created a book about it, which is in our bookstore. It's a book of photos. It's called Are We There Yet? So 4 months from Nebraska to California in the summer, you can imagine the variety of experiences. Some days were hot, some were rainy. The terrain changed, prairie grass, mountains, mud. I bet not every day was fun. There were probably times you wondered, why am I doing this? But it kept changing and she kept passing through it. And life is like that. Whatever you're going through, keep going. It's all scenery. It's all just weather. And it will change. The pioneers did get to a finish line. They reached the ocean. And even though it was not fun every day, they wouldn't trade anything for the experience, for the overall journey. Would you, April? It's because of the days with bad weather or difficult terrain that we have to remember to take time to be grateful for our progress, to notice it, to stop and celebrate everything that is and everything that has been so far. Gratitude is an ancient spiritual practice. As you know, it's always been important to the human experience. Meister Eckhart, a Unity minister in the 13th century. Thank you. Okay, not really. He was a Catholic like everyone else in the 13th century. He was a German theologian, a mystic, a Dominican friar, but he was tried during the Inquisition, so you know he was one of us. And when you read him now, you would swear you're reading a Unity book. So Meister Eckhart said, "Above all else then, be prepared for the gifts of God, and be ready always for new ones, for God is 1,000 times more ready to give than we are to receive." Why would it be hard for us to receive? That's the second question. The first one was, why is it hard to remember to be grateful? And the answer was, because we feel like we're not finished. We forget to stop and celebrate along the way. The days with pretty weather and beautiful scenery, the journey as a whole, stop and be grateful along the way. But the second one is, why is it hard for us to receive? You know why? I've learned why. Because it requires us to be open. So I and a lot of you have been reading this wonderful book, Daring Greatly, by Brené Brown. She's a researcher at the University of Houston. Her degrees are in social work. Her research is about shame and vulnerability. And it turns out, vulnerability is the key to a happy life. The willingness to be vulnerable, to risk getting hurt. Now, nobody wants to hear that, including Brené Brown. And she's given TED Talks that are funny and interesting about her experiences with the results of her own research. Because she didn't want to know this, and she didn't want to be vulnerable any more than anybody else does. What's fascinating is that she takes bits and pieces of human nature and names them. And one of the things she named for me is foreboding joy. I've had the experience, I didn't have a name for it, but it's that feeling of waiting for the other shoe to drop. It's not even a voice, it's just a sense of, don't get too happy, something will go wrong, don't let things get too good. Did you get that as a child? You'd be having a wonderful, wild time, and somebody would say, you'll be crying before bedtime. So we learned it early. But she explains it. If we let ourselves feel joy, we're vulnerable. The example she gives is a mother watching her children sleep, and her heart wells up with love, and then immediately she's thinking all the terrible things that could happen to them. We hate to admit this stuff. Brené Brown specializes in the feelings we hate to admit. But that's foreboding joy. If we're open to joy, we just love someone, we just love something, we love life, then we're open to hurt. We're emotionally exposed. And we go like this. We get into scarcity and fear. Well, the joy won't last. There won't be enough. Something might happen. If we're happy now, we're setting ourselves up for disappointment. And maybe I don't deserve joy anyway because people are starving somewhere. We all know people who are willing to risk it and those who aren't, who close off. So Brené Brown talked to a lot of people who do take the risk to feel joy and stay open. And you know what they had in common? Gratitude. Conscious, deliberate practice. She said, in fact, every participant who spoke about the ability to stay open to joy also talked about the importance of practicing gratitude. They could be open to joy because they were consciously grateful in the moment, no matter what might happen later. Gratitude reminds us there's enough right now. It's like appreciating this beautiful day on the hill. We know it will get hot again. But we can be grateful for this day. We can be open to joy now. This is why you keep hearing from me and others that gratitude opens us to receive more. I'm not suggesting you practice gratitude in order to receive more, but that is how it works. If you're open to joy, you're open to receive. That's why not being grateful seems to hold our good at bay, because we're not open, we're not letting it in. This is why Abraham Hicks stopped talking years ago about focusing on what you want and started talking about the art of allowing. It's being open and receptive. Gratitude lifts us to divine consciousness, the frame of mind where we know that all is well, where we know everything we need is already here because we are one with it. It's that good feeling place where we're allowing our joy, we're letting it in. Gratitude is like signing for a package. It puts us in an attitude of receptivity, so we're open to receive more. We're just in that receiving mode. I gave some thought to whether Jesus taught gratitude as a practice. I'm not sure he did. Not the way we think about it. Thank you is not part of the Lord's Prayer. He didn't say be grateful as much as he said, don't worry, know that all is well. Relax, trust, open yourself to joy. He did give thanks before some miracles. He lifted his eyes and gave thanks before the loaves and the fishes, before he raised Lazarus from the dead. As I read it, it was not so much thank you as for him, alignment with all that is. Acknowledging everything we need is already here and establishing himself in the good, looking past appearances. And Brené Brown said that too in Daring Greatly. She said, it wasn't just the relationship between joy and gratitude that took me by surprise. I was startled by the fact that research participants consistently described both joyfulness and gratitude as spiritual practices that were bound to a belief in human connectedness and a power greater than us. That's what Jesus was modeling. Our connection to a power greater than us, our oneness with God and all that is, and our ability to tap into it because we are part of it. For him, it was a knowing. For us, it might take a conscious practice of gratitude. Now, you all know gratitude practices already. You make a gratitude list. You have a gratitude jar. I've got a sign on my bathroom mirror lately just to remind me while I brush my teeth to kind of go through the day, gratitude. But I've got a website for you. When you need a shot of gratitude, gratefulness.org. Not gratitude, but gratefulness. It's a website for David Steindl Rost, R-A-S-T, who is another monk, like Meister Eckhart. Brother David is 86. He lives in New York State. He was born in 1926. I don't know how the stars were aligned in 1926. But there are remarkable people born that year. I started noticing it because my mother was born that year. Nancy Keefe was born that year. I rest my case. No, I was going to say Marilyn Monroe and Mel Brooks. Queen Elizabeth and Fidel Castro. Miles Davis and Alan Greenspan. And Nancy Keefe and my mother and David Steindl Rost. He grew up in Vienna. He had a PhD before he came to the United States, and then he became a Benedictine monk. In 1967, with permission from the Vatican, he had dialogue with Zen Buddhists, and it changed his life. It broadened his view of religion. And he co-founded the Center for Spiritual Studies with teachers who were Buddhist, Hindu, Sufi, and Jewish. But he specializes in gratitude, which cuts across all religions. Gratefulness.org. It's full of videos and interviews and articles from Brother David and many others. He says, gratefulness is more than giving thanks. Thanking comes with thinking. Say that again. Thanking comes with thinking. Well, Mindy got you trained in 1 week, didn't she? Gratefulness happens before thinking, he said. It's the spontaneous response of the human heart to the gratuitously given, also known as grace. So in that moment of wordless gratitude, he says, we're connected to cosmic intelligence. And he says, if we willingly open ourselves to its gentle force, it has power to change whatever's not in tune with it. It can change more than a mood. It can change a world. And David Steindl Rost talks about gratitude as a means to peace. personal inner peace and world peace. For 5 reasons, and I thought you might like to contemplate the reasons this week. Because he says you can't be grateful and violent at the same time, in any sense of the word violent, whether it's just angry words or anything. And he offers 5 attributes or qualities of gratitude, and then an action, little actions to practice on each one. So first, gratitude is trust. If you're suspicious, you can't recognize a gift. Someone tries to give you something and you think it's a bribe, it's a trap. What do they really want? Trust overcomes that fear. Fear leads to violence. Trust stays peaceful. So the action he recommends is say one word today that expresses trust. Gratitude is courage. It spreads calm and compassion. It's the opposite of mass hysteria and agitation. So resolve today not to repeat stories or rumors that spread fear. Have courage. Gratitude is openness. Our hearts open to others. We see this after disasters, but most of the time we just avert our eyes from suffering and homelessness and poverty. Openness breaks that pattern of isolation and allows us to express oneness. So today he says, make eye contact with someone you don't know, because there really are no strangers if we're all one. Gratitude is belonging. You can't feel grateful and alienated at the same time. So gratitude reminds you you're part of the one. You're in that network of give and take. And today, smile at someone to let them know they belong. And so do you. Gratitude is common sense. Now, not conventional do what others do common sense, but common in the sense of oneness, attuned to all beings. We hold the world in common. And our sense tells us that violence makes no sense. It hurts everyone. We stop violence by not acting violent, by not speaking violence. War is not the way to peace. That's just common sense. So today he says, contribute your share to peace on earth. Watch the news or just see your world with common sense, with a sense of the concerns that are shared by all beings and with compassion for us as a whole. Gratitude is trust, courage, openness, belonging, and common sense. Be ready to receive. Open to joy and risk whatever comes. It could be more joy. Be grateful in the moment anyway. Enjoy the journey, the scenery, and the weather. Remember to stop and celebrate whatever has been and is now. Above all else, then, be prepared for the gifts of God. And be ready always for new ones. For God is 1,000 times more ready to give than we are to receive. Let's take these thoughts into meditation. When we meditate, we simply become comfortable, relax, breathe. We dim the lights and we close our eyes because 80% of our mental stimulation is visual. With our eyes closed, we can turn within. We shut out the world for a moment and know ourselves. That self with a capital S, the higher self, the God within. That place of inner peace. It's in this divine presence that gratitude becomes easy, because we know that all is well, that everything is in order, even when it hurts, even when it's difficult. Even when we wonder why we thought this would be fun, we can be grateful for the journey, grateful for the variety of experiences, for the mountains and the mud, the prairie and the ocean. We are passing through the scenery and the weather of our lives. And we know with every step that God is 1,000 times more ready to give than we are to receive. And we can open ourselves to receive. We do that by being grateful for what already is, for what we can already see. Take the risk to stay open. So let's just take a few moments to open our hearts. You may have to imagine pulling it open with your hands, prying it with a crowbar, because it feels risky sometimes to love that much, to open that much, and to try again. But feel your heart open. And know that the presence of the divine pours into it and out from it. Breathe into that open heart. And I invite you to hold it open the rest of today. And just notice what you receive. The love, the laughter, the connection with people may be heightened with an open heart. In this week of Thanksgiving, we are grateful for all of the awareness we have so far, all of the blessings yet to come, for the variety and the joy of the journey. And so it is. Amen.